buried. Because if you think about what's going to happen, you're fighting to retain the one MP that you have. And you have said that there aren't any circumstances in which if you have one or even if you have more MPs, they would go into government with anybody. Is that right?
Well, what we're fighting to do is to build, to elect a strong group of MPs in the next parliament. We're putting up a very good showing in Bristol West with some excellent polling. Norwich South is strong. Sheffield Central strong. So we're looking to elect a strong group of
MPs.
Whatever
you get, though, they're not going to go into government, are they? Am I right in understanding that?
They would consider supporting a Labour minority administration on a vote-by-vote basis. So what we'd be looking at doing, we'd do everything possible to stop a Tory government. So that's what those MPs would be doing. They'd look to support a Labour administration on a vote-by-vote basis. They'd be fighting against the disastrous policy of austerity. They'd be fighting for a caring Britain. They'd be fighting for a different kind of Britain. And of course, what we're doing is offering people the model of something different. That's what, you know, when the Tory and Labour are offering austerity heavy and austerity light. We're offering the model set out in that manifesto of an entirely different Britain.
But that's
a Britain that works for the common good, not just for the few.
Forgive me for interrupting, but that in a way is what seems surprising, because here you are and you can show, look, huge amount of people are voting for us. Even if you don't get MPs, you could influence other parties. And you have had this remarkable platform over the last few weeks where you have been alongside the leaders of all the other parties and you have had an opportunity to show what a better Britain could look like. And one might have thought that you would use that to espouse green policies, to put the environment in the centre and to influence other parties in that way.
Well, and of course, we have put the environment and particularly climate change on the agenda, in which way, sadly, every other party leader failed to do. In the two leader debates, I was the only person who talked about climate change. The other leaders collectively couldn't find spare two words in 3.5 hours to talk about climate change.
Yeah, but what? Hold on a second. What, in terms of what we can actually do about it, how we are going to influence it. And you have, in your manifesto, you do talk about a fuel duty escalator, because you can think that's a, you know, it's a significant thing that would make a difference, is if you increase the tax on fuel. Like your mini manifesto, 16 pages, it doesn't mention cars once. It doesn't mention the fuel duty. It mentions populist things, but nothing. And you were surely in a position to be honest and to be clear.
Well, what we're setting out, and one of the things I've talked about a great deal, and this is a critically important issue and really illustrates the way in which economic and environmental concerns fit together, is the fact that we have a huge fuel poverty problem in Britain because we have extraordinarily poor quality of homes. Now, one of the things we've been highlighting is our scheme to insulate 9 million homes over the course of the next parliament. That would lift 2 million households out of fuel poverty.
Okay, now,
it would create 100,000
jobs. I'm asking about cars. We know that it's estimated 29,000 people deaths are as a result of pollution from cars.
And indeed, air pollution is another issue. But perhaps you would allow me to finish the point about housing, which is, you know, emissions from heating our homes is a significant cause of greenhouse gas emissions. We can tackle that problem whilst also tackling, creating 100,000 jobs and tackling fuel poverty. And that's an illustration of the same way in which we talk about transport.
I'm asking you about something else, because it's as if you're hiding it, and yet you're in the one party that arguably doesn't need to hide it. You can be honest, and yet you're choosing to do all the populist things rather than point out what one would have thought was your very raison d'etre.
What we're pointing out is, if you pick on transport, for example, we're focusing on the need to bring the railways back into public hands, to run them for passengers,
and
not shareholders, to make them afford. Well, this is
okay,
what we need
what
to
about
do
putting
is
up fuel duty.
Well, yes, we need to do that. But what we need to do is offer people an affordable, reliable, convenient alternative, and that's public transport, which is why we're also talking about re-regulating the buses. People
what
need an alternative.
If
you cannot say to people, get out of your cars, if you're not providing them with a reliable, affordable, convenient alternative. I visit many country towns where people say, you know, I can't come to your meeting in the evening because the last bus to my village is 5:30. We have to tackle.
We've only got a few seconds, and I want to ask you, because whatever the success of the Greens party over the last few weeks, some people might suggest that it is in spite of you rather than because of you. And I wonder what you think, whether Natalie Bennett has had a good campaign.
I think I've had an excellent campaign. I've really enjoyed it, and I've really enjoyed getting the message of the Green Party policy set by the now more than 61,000 members, and looking forward to an absolutely record result on the 7th of May.
Will you be glad when it's over?
Well, like everybody, I'd like a long sleep, and then I'll get on to building the green surge even further.
Natalie Bennett, thank you very much.